And hello once again, everybody. Welcome in. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Wednesday. We are live and in living color at Tennessee Brew Works here in Nashville. He is Big Joe Dubin. I'm Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier back at the studio on the ones and twos. And what's up, Joe?
Oh, my goodness. It's going to be a fantastic day here at Tennessee Brew Works. And here till 3 o'clock today. Stop by and say hi. Last time we were here, we had the... Is it the Music City trolley that stops here?
Oh, yeah.
Whatever the thing is.
All the bachelorette parties and birthday parties.
We had like 9 of them. And they all walk up to the TV, to the stage, and they're always like, are you guys on a podcast? Like, no, we're live on the radio.
I'm not going to lie to you. There was one girl that I think she was the birthday girl. That was so intoxicated that
right?
I thought we were going to see some things that we probably shouldn't see.
She tried to grab the headphone and was like, y'all are cute. I'm like, all right, man, you're absolutely drunk. Are y'all doing a podcast? all 9, every one that came through said the same thing, man.
It was awesome
because they actually were a lot of fun, and the crew here at Tennessee Brew Works has fun with them, so it's a good time. So we're excited to be here.
Yeah, we are, and thank you to them for having us today. We got a packed show with the Titans playing the Chiefs this weekend. Big Joe came up with the great idea of getting Dexter McCluster, former Titans and Chiefs running back, and also Ole Miss running back, with them being in the playoffs. So the Dex Show will join us coming up at 12:30.
He's cutting his speed class short early to be with us.
So nice.
If you ever wondered if Chase and I are mentioned in the same sentence as the word speed, we are today. So thank you.
Terry McCormick, TitanInsider.com, will join us at 1:30, get the latest on the Titans. They've made a lot of roster moves with IRs and reactivations and stuff like that, so we'll get his thoughts on that. And then Ryan O'Reilly, the factor, will join us in the 2 o'clock hour as the Predators take on the Carolina Hurricanes later on tonight.
Big game tonight for the Preds.
It is.
Right? So they've won 7 out of 10?
They have won 7 out of 10. They are like 5 or 6 points back of a playoff spot.
I think 5 I was reading earlier.
Their percentages, if you look at some sites, have them still at like a 10% chance to make the playoffs. But, you know, you get on a run at the right time.
Yeah.
You never know.
I think it's great. And look, you got Carolina, then you got Toronto, you got the Rangers. So you have 3 games in the next 5 days. Win those games, those are 6 points. You're right back in it.
Yeah, there's 7 points out right now.
Okay.
San Jose and the Kings all have 37 points, so the Preds are at 30. So,
okay.
Again, you control your own destiny, you keep winning, and see what happens.
I like it. I mean, just play tonight. And look, it's the only time all year, right? You get to see Carolina, Toronto, and the Rangers.
Yep.
So go tonight. And the Hurricanes, probably the least talked about good professional franchise.
Yep.
Right, nobody talks about them in any way. All the 4 major sports, nobody talks about them.
Number 1 in the Metro Division right now. They are also, they've won 7 out of their last 10. They've won 4 in a row, including beating the Predators last week in Raleigh. A couple weeks ago. I don't know. They run together. So you got Carolina, who's a playoff team, coming to town. And then, you know, the Maple Leafs and the Rangers are kind of like the Predators. They're in the thick of it right now, 2 points out of a playoff spot. So you're going to get some good competition coming through Bridgestone Arena this week.
Well, what I like about this is you grew up here, I grew up here, and the same applies to the Titans, it applies to hockey. To have – if you told me the New York Rangers and the Toronto Maple Leafs would be coming to Nashville to play hockey like the Dallas Cowboys or the Pittsburgh Steelers growing up here, I would have had you committed to a mental asylum. But now that it's a generation. For 25 years, all these teams have rolled through here, and it's still very, very cool. Like on Sunday to watch the New York Rangers in Nashville.
Yeah,
it's just really, really cool to have all that. So if you ever lose that feeling, then move out to Rayon City with Mike Organ.
Do we need to check on Vols fans today?
Kinda.
Yeah.
I mean, there's now – well, he'll play in the bowl game, but explain what's up.
So Jake Merklinger, the quarterback, has announced he's going to enter the transfer portal. He has 2 years of eligibility left. He's been predominantly the backup at the University of Tennessee, so he will play the bowl game.
I would assume
or suit up for the bowl game?
Because the portal opens January the 2nd. I would assume he would. If not, then you got two quarterbacks on the roster in McIntyre and Aguilar, and Aguilar's leaving. So you got maybe one quarterback going after the bowl game. You might have one quarterback on the roster.
Well, you have the five-star, I forget his name.
But ain't here yet. Yep.
But they've got him, and then George McIntyre. So going to be interesting to see. You know, I think I've read that the Cincinnati quarterback transfer, people have kind of connected him potentially as a with Tennessee as a landing spot. But we'll see.
And that's the thing is that, you know, now it's like, well, that offense, you can't play in the pros. I mean, if you're worried about that, just go play games, man, and be a quarterback in the SEC. But to hand that over to a five-star freshman, and, you know, Vandy's going to go through this too with Jared Curtis. I mean, they understand there's a large growing curve that happens. But for Tennessee, man, so, you know, if McIntyre doesn't enter, he's your guy going into 26. And so we shall see.
Can you tell me the starting quarterback for the Miami Dolphins?
Yes, hold on. It's either Zach Wilson or Quinn Ewers.
It is Quinn Ewers because Tagovailoa has been benched by Mike McDaniel and the Dolphins. Quinn Ewers, the, I believe, seventh-round pick rookie, will start for the Dolphins this week.
Dr. Crane, I apologize because remember I said there's no way that the owner is going to let the head coach bench the nearly $50 million year contract quarterback, put him on the bench. So Tagovailoa, see ya, and now Quinn Ewers. And, man, if Quinn Ewers is successful, you still got to pay two more years of that contract.
Yeah. Jeremiah Love's officially declared for the draft. No surprise there. So he will leave Notre Dame.
Oh, so he'll show up at a camp, right, next year?
He plans to show up. And Pete Thamel just reporting this about 30 minutes ago that Ohio, the University of Ohio, has fired head coach Brian Smith, saying he, quote, violated the terms of his employment agreement by engaging in serious professional misconduct and participating in activities that reflect unfavorably on the university, end quote.
Oh, no. All right, well, it's another Michigan story happening there.
Yeah.
Goodness.
I hate to say this, but
say it.
I don't think it's to the extreme of what happened with Sherrone Moore, but unfortunately, I think when that story broke, there were probably a few people throughout sports that got a little worried. And I'll leave it at that.
Yes, I think you are correct on that. We know exactly what you were talking about with that happening. So that's another job opening up there. More dominoes will fall because that's a pretty good job.
Yeah.
Ohio University is a pretty good school. It's in the MAC. They play good football. And more dominoes will happen right there, man. That's great. So all the jobs are
– I'm sure they got a few dominoes there. It's a college town.
I'm sure they're – so is Michigan the last big job that's not been filled? Is that right?
I would say, yeah. And they're doing like a whole investigation of the athletic department and all that stuff. So.
Well, I'd like that the lady on ESPN, is it Heather Dinich?
Yeah.
Is that her name? She said, I'm going to still say it's Kalen DeBoer until that job is filled at Michigan.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, somebody would want that. It's still a good job, right? I mean, you're at Michigan, right? You're not at, you know, Michigan State Tech Junior College. I mean, that's Michigan. That's a huge job. And to try to turn around and clean it up and everything, that'd be nice. So somebody will want that job.
The ACC has unveiled a 9-game conference schedule in a transition year, whatever that means.
They're just trying to, hey, look at us over here. We got one team in.
Like, hi, we know we're probably going to be gone in like 3 years. So
yeah, look at us real quick.
Look,
it's like you go to the pool and you're a kid with your mom. Mom, look at me, look at me. And all you do is jump off the side of the pool.
Yeah, and like, your mom, that's great, sweetie.
30 seconds later, mom. It's like, all right.
And she takes a sip of her mimosa.
Right? Looks at her iPhone and gets it down. Like, good Lord. Hey, real quick. This is a shout-out to drivers around Nashville. It's the Big Joe traffic message every day. If you were number one at the red light, if you were the big dog at the red light, get off your phone, right? You are
you have a responsibility.
You are empowered at the red light. You are the catalyst. You're the heartbeat. I was leaving the Target in Donaldson, and this guy was on his phone, and I give you 4 seconds for a honk. Yep. Then I honked, and then I gave him the look.
4 seconds.
He flipped me off, and then
that's
I was
generous.
Like, okay, yeah. I'll give you four. I'll give you four. I'm getting kind of nice in my old age. But if you're number one at the red light, go. Absolutely. That's your only focus is that red light turning green and going.
I can tell you this. I have found a very screwed up place, and I know there are more, but of
is it like, on Murfreesboro Road?
No. Well, you got some salt, but if you know. No. It's at where they're building this Titan Stadium. So it's you're turning left off of, I guess it's Galton or Main Street, whatever that is, whatever it becomes. It has like three names. But you're turning left to go get on the interstate, on
okay.
Interstate Drive, right? So the stadium's to your right.
All right.
And that Comfort Inn or whatever hotel.
Don't play dumb.
And they got it. La Quinta, whatever. Well, they got it so screwed up that, like, I'm trying to turn there the other day to get on, and I got people in the far right lane that just basically go sideways and just block traffic to try and trying to, like, go to the interstate. I'm like, what are we doing?
Oh, man. Oh, that's great. I'm not fancy enough to go on that side of town. But
and it got to the point where it was so screwed up that it was kind of like one of those puzzles that you have to move a piece to make another piece move. And it was like, what are we doing?
You better watch out over there. That's the East Natural people.
I know.
Somehow right now, Willie Donick's phone's dinging.
And East Side.
And vinging. Yeah,
East
like,
Side. We're talking about the East Side.
We're going to get you. I told you, my main job in Donaldson is to stand on that pedestrian bridge and not let any people from East Nashville over to Donaldson. I mean, yeah. we're manning that bridge 24 hours a day. Stay on that side of town.
615-737-1025 is our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Quickly, Joe, what is our question of the day?
So tonight the Powerball is over $1 billion. I think like $1.1 billion tonight. The cash option keeps rising. It's $570 million. So if you win tonight in honor of Nick Saban, and you could buy 10% of anything, sports team, business, doesn't matter, what would you buy 10% of? You win the Powerball tonight. You have the option to buy 10% of anything. What would you buy 10% of? I would buy 10% because I don't think it's ever going away, and it makes money all the time. I'm buying 10% of Netflix.
Oh, yeah, that's a good call.
I mean, there's some hostile takeover now where Warner Brothers wants to buy it for $40 billion. I'm putting 10% into Netflix.
No.
It's not going away.
No. It's the other way around. Netflix wants to buy Warner Brothers.
But who wants to buy Netflix? Somebody may just try to make a hostile takeover of
something. Paramount. It's like Paramount and Netflix, I think, are in a bidding war over Warner Brothers.
Something, yes, along those lines. Yeah. So they're not going away.
Oh, Netflix is not going away.
Yeah. So I'd buy 10%.
Mine, I would want to buy 10% of Richard Childress Racing.
All right. Who all is the drivers?
Kyle Busch and Austin Dillon right now. And we'd have to talk about that.
Especially, okay, why Richard Childress?
Because that's where Dale drove.
Okay.
And I like Richard Childress because he likes to fight people.
Oh, that's a kid. That's number one on my box.
He's
right?
80 years old. He's like, I'll whip your ass.
Wait, was the Randy Quaid character in Days of Thunder based on him?
I think loosely.
Okay. Car owner.
Yeah. Well, Rick Hendrick. He's based off Rick Hendrick. And then supposedly Rowdy Burns is Dale Earnhardt. It's kind of based off.
Okay. I could see that.
You know, like blue collar, like not going to take any BS.
Good. That's what we should be. All right. So you got Richard Childress. Dr. Yeah. Crank, 10%. What are you buying?
Hanes t-shirts. Everybody needs a t-shirt. Why on God's green earth would you invest in a sports team when you can invest in shirts that are needed every single day?
That is
this guy.
That is brilliant.
This guy.
That is brilliant.
He's like a young, very sane Bill Gates.
That is absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, I like that. Just t-shirts, right?
Because,
yeah.
Again, it's one of those things that's never going away.
Well done,
and
Dr.
And if the
Craig.
Internet breaks, we still got clothes.
I mean, you can end the show.
Right?
That was pretty good.
I mean, I'm actually stuck in my mind now. Like, that is very good. That never would have crossed my mind at all.
That's well done. Our question of the day is presented by Aries Tactical. Your safety, your skill, your Aries Tactical. Check them out at ariestactical.com. We're live today at Tennessee Brew Works. And again, got a big show. Dexter McCluster coming up at the bottom of the hour. It's Chasing Big Joe, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, 102.5 The Game. The car is bringing us back on this Wednesday, live at Tennessee Brew Works. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Dexter McCluster, former Titans and Chiefs running back, Ole Miss, will join us at the bottom of the hour. So with Tua being benched, I just saw this on Twitter. First-round quarterback since 2020. Tua, benched. Justin Fields, got benched. Zach Wilson, got benched. Trey Lance, got benched. Mac Jones, got benched. Bryce Young, got benched. Kenny Pickett, got benched. Anthony Richardson, got benched. At least Cam Ward's not on that list yet.
Right? Those are all first-rounders?
Yeah, since 2020.
Man, you could add one second-rounder to that list, too.
Will Levis.
Will Levis.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Who's going to come back with a vengeance in 26?
You'd love to see it.
He'll get traded to some other team and light him up, and then they'll make the play. That's the way it happens now. I mean, you're expecting that with guys who are no longer here and go down.
So I just thought that was interesting.
some of y'all's responses are on this.
Look at a text we just got.
are great for you. Could buy 10% of anything. What would you buy? 10% of anything. We got one here. Somebody says 0323 Amazon. I'd buy 10%. That's a great one. That's not going away. Amazon's not going away. As much as everybody wants to hate it and says, I won't, like a friend of mine complains about Amazon all the time, and then he complains because his package isn't there.
Yeah.
I'm like, so what are you doing? You're speaking out of both sides.
Sounds like
of
a personal
mouth,
problem.
Right? I mean, you get your I can't stand Amazon. And then an hour later, they haven't brought my package yet. I'm like, come on, man. I get all that. But 10% of that's good.
John says SpaceX.
Yeah, right?
That's a good one.
They totally reshaped the way we travel to space. I want to see Dr. Crane go up in a rocket ship.
Oh, that'd be fun. Would you do it, Dr. Crane?
I feel like Joe just wants to see me experiment things and possibly die to my ultimate death. I'm going to pass on this one.
No, I think it's just the first part. He wants to see you experience life.
Yeah.
That's what he wants to see.
Then you could go up into space and come back down and be like Katy Perry and tell everybody you're an astronaut.
Well, she never went up into space.
Well, they came back and thought they were astronauts. They were up like for 18 seconds. Then like her and Gail King and... Who else went with them? Lady Gaga?
Hey, I don't know. 18 seconds is a long time, man.
It is. Ask Rick Pitino. Heyo.
Joey from Gallatin says invest in medical equipment.
But what? We need specifics. Like Harold Miller Henry does something with medical robots.
Yeah.
And that sounds important, and then he does really well off of that.
Wes in Hermitage was one that said Amazon. 3337 said the lottery.
What's your return investment? I mean, you win the lottery, right, obviously, right. But
7656. I'd buy 10% of the Titans. The stock will definitely go up. Can't get much lower.
You know what? I wouldn't mind buying. 10% of a minor league baseball team, like on the Gulf Coast, like Pensacola.
Yeah.
Well, what are you doing today, Joe? I'm gonna go sit.
I'd probably like if you had that kind of money, I'd just outright buy a double A base.
I don't want the 10%, man. I don't want the deal with HR and personnel. Just give me 10%, and I'll sit in the outfield and watch baseball. Even though I'm not the biggest baseball guy, but I'd still sit out there if I'm near the beach. That'd be perfect. Or I'd put a minor league team in Key West. I'd have enough money to do that. Dr. Crane's manager.
Let's see. Adam in Portland says, if it'll load, I'm going to be the boring answer and say that I want to buy 10% of the Titans, and I'm going to be the most hands-on owner that you've ever seen in your life. I would be just like Jerry answering questions week after week.
At 10%.
And I'll hire every single person on my radio shows to my staff. Joe, you can replace Brinker. Chase, you can... refinanced Nihil. Obviously, I'm He didn't work here. To field the press conference questions, Derek can coach my wide receivers. Willie over to replace that goofball who took over for Mikey. Adam could ask the players questions in the locker room. Rex Rhodes, I'll give a contract to, but he has to go to New England and ask Mike for questions about the Titans every week. Robbie will still get paid, but he's banned from the building because he's a Packer fan. He can run our social media or something.
You know what? Thank you. I would absolutely send Rex Rhodes. I'd put him on a plane every Sunday night to go to New England on Monday and sit in the front row and ask Vrabel questions. And when Vrabel says, what are you doing here? Have Rex Rhodes have him directed to say he only asks questions back. When Vrabel's like, what are you doing here? And then Rex Rhodes like, well, what are you doing here? And then Vrabel's like, no, seriously, what are you doing here? And Rex was like, no, what are you doing here? And that's all it is. And then Joe flies back on Monday. First class, Joe. We'll take care of you.
I tell you this. If I won the lottery along those lines, I would pay to send Rex Rhodes, Kuharsky, and Stillman to sit in the front row just to mess with Vrabel.
Okay.
That would be funny.
He'd come out and be like, what?
And Glennon. Because Glennon would have to come in, you know, with, like, when things are awkward, like, so,
send them all. We'd follow you guys up there Sunday night. First class. We'll put you in, let you stay in, you'd stay in Providence because that's closer to the facility there. Then you go over the next day and ask questions and then have Vrabel do his little, what do you do with your hands there? What's going on there? Yeah,
Probably not.
That would be funny.
So that's what we're doing. There we go. We got it figured out.
Coming up next, we'll talk to Dexter McCluster, former Titans, Chiefs, Ole Miss running back. Obviously a big matchup this weekend. We'll see what he's been up to as of late. We'll talk to him next. Chase and Big Joe live at Tennessee Brew Works, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Wednesday. We're live at Tennessee Brew Works hanging out today and excited to bring in our next guest, someone that was always fun to talk to when he was here with the Titans and, of course, played for the Chiefs before that and Ole Miss. Dexter McCluster, former NFL running back, joins us on the program. Dexter, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How you feeling?
We're good. I know you got to always have a little nostalgia and be excited about a Chiefs-Titans matchup that's coming up this weekend.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited. Everybody's been coming to me like, who you rooting for? Who you pulling for? I say, hold on, man. I'm just going to see a good game.
That's a fair one. The Chiefs are in a tough spot, though, with Patrick going down for the year, and they're going to miss the playoffs for the first time in over a decade. Since that run. So, you know, unfortunately, you've been in those situations where you've been on teams that have been out of it this time of year. What do you guys talk about in the locker room and what you're looking for from both the Titans side and the Chiefs side when it comes to just competing and finishing the year strong?
Yeah. With the Chiefs, man, having a guy like Patrick down, that's very unfortunate. You know, that's that foundation, that's the leader, and that's a guy that can make, that can change a game, you know, at any moment. But, you know, being in the NFL and being on the other side of things as far as not making it to the playoffs, and we still have a season to play, it just goes down to the point to where you got to understand and know that at the end of the day, you're a professional, this is your job, and you have to go out there and finish strong no matter what. You know, you just don't want to go out there with a lackadaisical mindset saying, okay, this is get home. I'm ready to go. We don't have anything to play for because at the end of the day, it's about character and it's about building that foundation and getting that confidence going into the offseason and hoping for a better season that following year.
Dexter McCluster is here with us on the program. I don't know how much you've gotten to really see of Cam Ward this year, but if you've watched some of him, what have kind of been your thoughts to this point?
Yeah, you know, I pretty much go to every home game, me being a Tennessean now for about 10 years, so I'm always at the games, and what I did see, I see a guy that he's definitely a competitor. He's not a me guy. He's always been a we guy. You know, I think he has a lot of upside. You know, he's a competitor, and he wants to win. It's just trying to figure out the different pieces that can help him, you know, continue to develop and show what he can do on a long-term basis. So I just think he needs a little more time under his belt with some guys and some new additions, and I think we're going to see some good things out of him.
You know, Dexter, you were a rookie one time. I got to think, it's overwhelming. You go to a new city, new teammates, new everything, all the pressure. You're the number one pick. You're the quarterback. Yeah. You're the savior of the franchise. I mean, there's a lot off the field that he's got to put up with, I think.
Yes, you said a whole mouthful and a whole mouthful of the truth. You know, especially especially being the number one pick. You're coming to a city like Nashville that's freaking took off, that's blowing up. You know, everybody's moving to Tennessee. So you have a lot of expectations put on you early. But as competitors, you know, we have to welcome that. You know, it's the lane we're in. It's our job to go out there and figure things out. You know, so with that added pressure, it's all about just that supporting cast. You know, the coaches, you know, somebody getting with them and, you know, the veterans, so to speak. The veterans right. got to come in and kind of help him navigate through the process and let him know that, hey, it's not going to be perfect. But if you keep working, if you don't give in, if you just roll with what comes to you, everything else will kind of fall into place, you know. So it's always tough coming into a situation like that, but I think that he welcomed it.
Sure. Yeah, Dexter McCluster's on the Chase and McJoe show. You wasted no time in Kansas City to become beloved by fans. Your first yeah. touchdown was a punt return.
Yes, it sure was. That was September 13, 2010. I'll never forget it. Monday Night Football. Yes, sir.
What was that like? Because I've always heard, look, I've been to games at Arrowhead, and it's so loud there. What was that like yeah. for you when you knew you were going to score?
Well, first and foremost, coming out of that tunnel, yeah, I've been drafted and everything, went through the training camps and all of that, the ins and outs. And coming out of the tunnel before the game, Monday Night Football, and just to see that crowd, that's when I knew it was real. So we get to the sideline. We had Javier Arenas. He was our punt returner. And, of course, yeah. I practiced it during the practices. You know, I was backing him up and things. And I just saw our head coach, Todd Pioli, lean over to our special teams coach and say, hey, I want to see McCluster return one. I didn't hear him, but I read his lips. And at that point, all of my nerves kicked in. I said, you know what? Hey, Dex, when you get out there, just catch the ball. I don't care what you do, just catch the ball. And I went out there. I think it was drizzling a little bit, raining. I got my visor taken off right before I got out there. Boom, they punt the ball. I'm looking up. I don't think I blinked at all. You know, the water's hitting my eyes. But I caught the ball. And once I caught it, it's like I went into autopilot. My body just reacted. And, you know, once I seen Andy Studebaker leading the way to the end zone, that's when I knew it was real. And at that moment, I was running as fast as I could, but it felt like the end zone was running from me. So I was just trying to get there. It was wild.
what was it like playing with Mike Vrabel that one year in Kansas yes. City?
And I was just talking to one of my clients, you know, my athletic trainer and our sports performance. So I was talking to him and I was telling him, you know, I got a chance to play with Mike Vrabel. And I got a chance to see a guy that was definitely a pro. He approached the game like no other as far as just taking care of his body, the attention to detail. Being that veteran to where you see the young guys, you see that talent and having that encouragement. And I think that's why he had so much success and is having so much success in the NFL as far as coaching, because he's a guy that has been there, that has done it at a high level, and that still loves the game and is not afraid to jump in there with those guys and put some pads on and get pushed around a little bit. So when you got a guy with that type of energy and that type of love for the game, you have no choice but to kind of love it, receive it, and do what you got to do to make sure that everything goes the way it needs to.
Dexter McCluster is with us here on the Chase and Big Joe show. You experienced this a couple times in your career in Kansas City and in Tennessee, where there was a coaching change mid-season. Todd Haley's let go in Kansas City. Romeo Crennel takes over.
Yep.
And obviously, Ken Whisenhunt has let go here, and Mike Mularkey takes over.
Yep.
What was that like, and what are some of these guys going through with the Titans now that – you know, Callahan's let go earlier in the season, and Mike McCoy, who I believe you played for briefly in San Diego, takes over.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Yeah, it's different. But I think, you know, you learn fast in the NFL that, hey, it's the next man up. You know, that's all we're drilled in. Hey, it's what have you done for me lately? It's, you know, every single day is a job interview for the players. And I guess the same thing for the coaches, you know, and having a coaching change mid-year, you really don't have time to dwell on it so much. Yeah, you talk about it in the locker room a little bit with the guys, but you have to make sure that you're still able to do your job and make sure that you have some type of value on that field to make sure that your job is not, you know, in jeopardy. So it's definitely unfortunate, but I think the guys can attest, you know, you hate it, but you got to keep moving forward, you know, no matter what it looks like.
You know, from the outside, when Mularkey took over, there was this definite sense that you could feel the change. Like, there, it
That's
was
my guy. You're 100% right.
Yeah, so that answers my question. You guys felt that too when he took over as the head coach.
Yeah, 100%. You know, he's the guy, like, he was a tight end, and he used to always see me practice, and I prided myself on practicing hard as I can, so when the game comes, it's muscle memory. And one thing that he did do when he became the interim head coach, he made me a captain right away, and he pulled me in his office and said, hey, I'm going to give you the captain because I see how you work. I've been seeing this, you know, week in and week out at practice, and that was pretty awesome for me to know that, hey, man, the hard work doesn't go in vain. And, you know, with that coaching change and with him going, he just brought some energy, a new life. And he brought a little edge back to what we needed.
Oh, very good. Dexter McCluster's with us. Dexter, talking NFL is great, but let's talk about your Ole Miss Rebels. In the college football playoffs, Saturday, taking on Tulane. First of all, thoughts on Lane Kiffin. I know how special Ole Miss is to you, and yeah. I've read some other Ole Miss players like, you know what, if you don't want to be there, just go away. We want people want to be there. I'm sure that 48, 72 hours has a very successful and popular ex-football player in Mississippi. There was like, all right, what's going on? What were your thoughts during all that time?
Yeah, it was like, wow, this is pretty bad timing. knowing that the season that we're having and just the trajectory that Ole Miss has been going, you know, these past few years. And, you know, with that, you know, I don't know if it was because of the game I had versus Tennessee when I was at Ole Miss and he was the head coach of Tennessee and I had one of the biggest games of my career.
Oh,
we
yeah.
Really yeah, when I went to Ole Miss, we never really talked. It was almost like an avoidance a little bit, you know, of that. But I always just wanted to say, hey, man, you're doing a great job at what you're doing, you know. But at the end of the day, Ole Miss is who took the first shot, gave me the first opportunity. So, like the guys say, if you don't want to be there, go ahead and get out of the way because we got a support cast that can get this thing rolling, and we're going to continue this thing with or without you.
Yeah, I just, you know, it's funny. My roommate in junior college played football at Ole Miss, a guy named Randy Baldwin, beloved by Ole Miss fans, and just talked about how special it is at Ole Miss. You got to experience, he's told me all the stories, but you got to experience that after when you go back, just how beloved you are, players are, and how special it is. And Saturday, Dexter, you're hosting a playoff game on campus. I mean, what a wonderful time to be an Ole Miss Rebel.
Yeah, 100%. And guess what? I will be in the building. I'll get down there Saturday morning to watch that game. And it's just exciting, you know, life after the game. It shows that when you take the time and whether it's after the game to sign 100 autographs for the kids or whether it's take a moment to take a picture or whatever, they give you that love back and it never goes away. So that's one thing that I love Ole Miss and the community for is because if you're an Ole Miss guy or gal, you're an Ole Miss guy or gal for life. And that's one thing. The support is always going to be there. I'm looking forward to jumping up and down and getting this victory on Saturday.
I love it. Well, what are you doing now? I know you said I pulled you away from one of your speed classes. What are you doing now?
Yeah, so I've been, for the past 5 years, I've been running McCluster Fit. I train all athletes, all sports, starting at age 3 all the way to the NFL Combine. I've trained running backs for the NFL Combine with Boost Performance early on, back in 2019, 18-ish, whatever. But I'm everywhere, man. I train boxing. I train dancers for spatial awareness. So I'm just the guy that I was on the field, that Swiss Army knife. And if there's work to be done, I am there. So I'm enjoying that.
Love it, man. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I still have memories of you running over Tennessee back in 2009 that day. I think you had 282 that day.
Yeah, 282, 300 and something all-purpose, 4 touchdowns. it's still running.
I love that. That's so awesome.
Would you have been at Ole Miss in 2008?
Yes, I was.
Okay. Then I saw you play. I'm going to be honest with you. The Grove got me that day, so I don't remember too much of it.
it gets the best of all of us. I know that more so now that I'm on the other side.
Yeah.
And I've just got my first 2 tailgating events this year in the Grove. And yeah, I feel your pain, big dog, but it was fun.
It was something. You are a man of the people, though, because I ran into you last year at an Ole Miss Vanderbilt basketball game.
Yep.
I go to a Preds game. hit Broadway that night, and you're at Rippy's hanging out. So you were a man of the people, Dex.
I'm telling. Hey, listen. If you want to find me, I'm not hard to find.
I love it. Thanks so much for joining us today. It's good to catch up with you, and we'll do it again soon.
Most definitely. I appreciate you guys.
Absolutely. Dexter McCluster joining us on the program, former Ole Miss Rebel, Titan, Chief, and San Diego Charger, which I forgot about. Played for Mike McCoy for about six games.
Right. I think it's great. I think I know Alabama fans are traveling to Norman, Oklahoma for Friday night, and he's going down this weekend. So college football back front and center this weekend. And Saturday is good. I mean, Friday night, get the one game of Alabama, Oklahoma, and then Saturday, A&M in Miami, and then Tulane at Ole Miss, and the Oregon and James Matt. I mean, it's going to be a fun day. Sit around and watch a little football on Saturday.
I want to ask you and the listeners if you have the same or have had the same feeling that I've had about this, and I'll explain that a little bit more coming up next. It's Chase and Big Joe. We're live at Tennessee Brew Works here on 102.5 The Game. The late, great Roy Orbison bringing us back. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here at Tennessee Brew Works in Nashville.
Is that what you say when you walk to the Grove? When you walk to the Grove, pretty woman, excuse me, pardon me.
Yeah.
Look, you've been there. I've been there. Is it one of the most deadly places on earth?
So that game, and I was pretty sure I remember Dex in that game. We missed kickoff because we were getting up. It was me and my buddy Chris and his brother and like a bunch of his friends. I mean, and it was a 2:30 game. We got on the Grove at 9.
Oh, my gosh.
And I stood up to get up to go to the game and literally fell back down and was like, nope.
Wait, what year were you born?
87. So I was 21.
Attaboy. Okay, yeah. Just making sure.
Yeah.
Mom's listening.
Yep. No, I was 21. I was legal.
Good.
But, I was hammered. I was absolutely hammered. Like, and his parents were in town. We're like, we're going to go to dinner. And I'm like, that's a terrible idea. But the funny thing is, I think I rallied and we ended up just going all night.
I liked it. Never quit, man. But I just think that's going to be a fun environment. Look, you got a college football playoff on your campus.
Yes.
On your home field. So, man, pace yourself, Dexter, on Saturday down in Oxford.
So, by the way, you can catch the college football playoff this weekend starting Friday night at 6:30 on 102.5 The Game with Alabama at Oklahoma.
Yes.
11 o'clock after weekend huddle. That's you, Nick. So you're a solid lead in to Miami, Texas A&M, which I think I've decided A&M's going to beat the crap out of Miami.
Yeah,
I kind of feel like that's
going to happen. I'm with you on that.
And then on 94.9 The Fans, we'll have press coverage later in the day. You'll have Tulane, Ole Miss, and then JMU, Oregon.
Okay. I like it. Good. Full day of all that.
So real quick, what I was going to say, when you brought up the college football playoff, I was like, oh, yeah, that's this weekend. Like, I'm not conditioned enough yet to expect playoff football this early.
No, you're right, because we get so focused on they take a break. You had the – because really, you had championship Saturday, which is 2 weeks ago. But before that, the end of the season, that's 3 weeks ago now. You get a week off for the Heisman, all the Pavia nonsense that he did, and now you're kind of back into it. You know, NFL is going to be dominate everything, and now you're back into it with the games this weekend and, of course, next week rolling through. But I think this is really set up for some really fun football. I think if Oklahoma beats Alabama Friday – I really think they run the table.
Yeah.
They're playing so well. And if they win, they got to play Indiana in the Rose Bowl. Indiana hasn't faced a team like Oklahoma. They're 13-0. That's fine. But, man, Oklahoma was down. And they go to Knoxville and win. They go to Tuscaloosa and win and all that. I think what's going to happen is the JMU-Oregon game.
That's going to be the interesting one.
Could be if JMU keeps it close, which they're not. The committee can say, hey, we told you, but if Oregon beats them 70-0.
Do you think Napier is going to be there observing? I would assume so.
No, I'd stay away. It's not your team.
Not yet.
Chesney's still there.
Yeah.
So let him do that. You observe. You send positive affirmations. Oh, that's redundant. But.
Two things. Something I saw that I thought was cool. John Summerall donated $100,000 to Tulane's NIL fund. It's kind of like a parting gift on the way out, which I thought was really cool. Do you think, because you just referenced it, that Heather Dinich said she's going to keep saying Kalen DeBoer to Michigan until it's not?
Right.
If Oklahoma trounces them Friday night, which could very well happen, do you think that could change things?
Yes. Yeah, because we all know Alabama fans, right?
Uh-huh. He might look at this of like, you know what? I might need to stay one step ahead of the jailer.
Yep, and go and get me a nice little six-year deal in Michigan. I don't know. I mean, that's a great, great point to put there. And that's the thing. Somebody's asking, well, they asked on a game day, is like, why is it not okay for Kiffin to coach Ole Miss, but it is okay for Chesney and Sumrall to coach their schools?
It's a fair question.
And McAfee said, we all agree that these schools are not on the same level as an Ole Miss LSU rival. And I'm like, yes, you are exact. And it shut Saban up, which I loved. And it's not. The JMU keeping Chesney there is not the same as letting Kiffin coach Ole Miss and like, oh, by the way, I'm going to go to your heated rival, LSU, so take care. No, man. If you don't see the difference there, then I can't help you.
If he was leaving Ole Miss for Texas?
No, still in the conference.
Well, okay, that's true. If he was leaving Ole Miss for Michigan, I think they might – it might have been
a little
different.
Bit. Yep, yeah. A little bit, yes.
But the fact that it's you – know, I mean, you got a game that has a name with LSU.
That's right.
Magnolia Bowl.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, that means something.
Yeah, and LSU's like, that's our coach. That's our coach. And yeah. I get that, but it's not the same as Chesney staying or Summerall staying at their schools and getting it done. But I just think Saturday night in Eugene, Oregon could be really, really ugly for JMU and ugly for the committee.
And my thing is, again, I don't fault Kiffin for leaving. Like, if you think you can go better yourself, then by all means.
Yep.
It's like, I didn't like how he handled it and how late it was, but I didn't necessarily fault him for leaving Tennessee for USC because of the connections and the dream job or whatever. It was just, again, his problem is how he goes about it.
And every coach is going to tell you, off the record, that is, go where you think you could win and be happy even if you're there. But I get it, and he wanted to go to LSU, and that's fine. I just don't know how LSU is going to come out and play on Saturday. I know there are a few coaches that have returned to help them out. Tulane's not a bad football team.
No.
But, I mean, I think they'll win this and go forward. It's just that, you know, Kiffin's going to do what Kiffin does, and he did what Kiffin does, and he went to LSU. But I think it'd be fun if the Alabama job comes open, and you know, that's the job he secretly wanted, according to some. But now you're at LSU. So we'll see how it plays. The good thing is it'll play out this weekend on the field.
Real quick, our question of the day is, if you won the lottery, what would be 10% of something you would buy? Doug wants to weigh in on this. Doug, what's up?
Hey, man. I submitted an investment idea via text earlier, but I guess I'm calling in after I pondered on it for a bit. And this is my redo idea.
All right.
So I came up with this. If I came into a large amount of money, you know, be it lottery or whatever, and I don't do lottery, but I'd go buy the Starwood property and I'd build a stadium. They got to even put a roof on it, and I'd rent it to Nashville at 10%. I guess what they did to us. But I control 100% of the parking revenue. And, heck, they're building this underground railroad right to the airport. Add a few more miles to that thing and run it straight to the Starwood Dome. And I'd sit back like a fat cat.
I don't hate this plan. I'm not gonna lie. The Starwood Dome.
You should have kept that plan to yourself, Doug. Now I bring it. And everybody knows that plan now.
Okay, well, that's what's out there. But I'll ask you a sports question after that. With the final antics of Pavia, did he kill or create his 30 for 30?
I think he's contributed to it. I don't think he killed it. I think he definitely contributed to it.
That's a good point,
yeah,
Doug.
That's a good one. Thank you, Doug. Appreciate the call. That's a really good one. We'll have more coming in hour number two, including Terry McCormick, TitanInsider.com at 1:30. We're live at Tennessee Brew Works today. We'll also have your chance for our 12 Days of Christmas with A Moment's Peace. We'll be listening for that. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.